You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome to the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all across the country. And I've got my good friend, Laura Hatch. You're not going to want to miss this because she's going to share with us the one word you never use that kills all your new patient telephone calls. So do me a favor. You're going to want to grab a pen for this and hit the share button. We'll see you in just a second.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show. I got my good friend, Laura Hatch on. Now, I'm going to say a couple things before I let her talk, because she is, you're going to see how awesome she is as far as what she knows. And everybody's always looking for new patients. You know, how do we get more new patients? And she works in the trenches. She actually works in the trenches in all aspects of a dental practice. She gets a chance to monitor the phone calls, and she also teaches this. So you're going to see how all of this works, and it's brilliant what she came up with. And we just talked about it before we started the show. So you're not going to want to miss this. Now, let me tell you about how I met this person. I had heard about her from Linda Miles, and Linda Miles is like, you got to check this out. This woman named Laura Hatch is doing this thing called Front Office Rocks. And I'd heard it. And then she mentioned it again. And then I was at the ADA consultants meeting. So we were all together and I was so excited to be there. And you sat down and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the Front Office Rocks woman. And we got to know each other and you and I have become friends and we've been sharing a lot of information and it's been so fun. So people that don't know you, who are you and what is Front Office Rocks?
Kirk, thanks for having me on the show. And let's tell the truth. You actually ran across the room and scared the heck out of me. Because you're like, you're that Front Office Rocks.
Yeah.
I'm Laura and I'm a dental office manager. I'm married to a dentist, so I'm the dental wife and I have a practice in San Diego. So when you're saying that I'm in the trenches, I run a day-to-day office in San Diego, but I'm also the owner of Front Office Rocks, and Front Office Rocks is an online training resource for dental offices. So I focus on helping front office teams, you know, all aspects of everything we do throughout the day, do better at our jobs.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And you have not a few videos. You've got like videos everywhere, right?
Yeah. So I have over 180 training videos on our website. So what I basically did is, you were mentioning Linda Miles. So when I got into dentistry, my husband, you know, wanted to open a practice and said, all right, well, you're going to run the front. And I knew nothing about dentistry. And so there was no real resource for us to go to. You know, I saw Linda Miles speak and thought, oh, I want to be Linda Miles. You know, I read dental economics and all the articles, but there was no place for me to go to teach me how to talk to patients, how to ask for payment, how to handle the phones. And so over the years, I've had two scratch practices. My husband and I had one on the East Coast and West Coast. And I just determined that there was a need for us at the front, for the new receptionist, for the new scheduler, to help us do our jobs. And so I have over 180 training videos online for everything from that first phone call to, you know, what statistics you should be watching as an office manager and everything in between. And then we do webinars twice a month where I have access to all the clients and they log in and we talk about a certain subject, an area of concern, whether it's cancellations or new patient calls or whatever.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so on that subject, which is a very hot subject, and you get to monitor a lot of phone calls, you've been doing this for a long time. You know, we kill a lot of opportunities before they even happen. And sometimes we do it consciously or subconsciously. The new patient telephone call, first of all, let's talk about that before we actually talk about the one word. How important is a new patient telephone call to growing a successful practice?
You know, one of the things when I speak, I talk about the most important piece of technology. What is that in the dental office? And if you were asking my husband or my doctors, they would say CEREC or the 3D cone beam or the intraoral camera. But for me, it's the telephone, because if we're not handling that phone right, you're not doing a lot of crowns on the CEREC. So the telephone is so vital, because not only is it our lifeline to the outside, but when that phone rings, that's the first impression that any patient's going to have of our practice. And if we're looking to grow our practice, you know, patients don't judge us on our dentistry. They don't walk around going, you know, look at this great crown. They judge us on how nice were the girls up front? How easy was it to schedule? How high tech was the office? You know, does your reception area still have green shag carpeting from the 70s, right? That's what patients are judging us on. And many times it's also in the middle of 46 other things going on at the front desk, that phone rings and it's like, I just want to strangle. But we have to respect that call, because every one of those calls, whether it's a new patient or current patient, is vital to the practice.
Yeah, hugely vital. And so just improving your conversion just a little bit dramatically changes the whole entire landscape of your practice. And so a couple show notes. Now, we are shooting this live through Facebook, so you're going to see the feed pop up. As you have questions, feel free to ask them, and I'll ask Laura directly, because this is an important subject. Now, take us into this. There's one magical word that kills every new patient telephone call. What is it?
Yep. Before I give the magic word, let me just do a little kind of, because I know there's people going to listen to this and they're going to say, well, we have to handle certain things up front. There's an issue in our industry where I believe that we've become too insurance driven. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to know insurance inside and out. And we need to understand it, but we need to not be so insurance driven. We're not in a tooth industry. We're in a people industry. Right. So every time we answer the phone, we need to remember that that's a person on the other end of the phone. It's not an insurance company. It's not like they come in with like a, you know, a sticky note, like I'm Blue Cross Blue Shield or I'm Delta Premier, right? That's a person. Now, our patients don't know what to ask when they call our office. I mean, they know they're supposed to brush their teeth twice a day. They're supposed to come to the dentist every 6 months. And maybe they're supposed to floss, but they're not sure anymore because, you know, the media has told them all that they don't need to. But they don't know what to ask. So they call our offices and they typically ask something like, do you take my insurance? And how much is a crown? Or do you have Saturday hours? You know, something like that. The reason is that's all the patients really know. I mean, they know their insurance book and they know their pocketbook. And if they knew better, they would be asking things like, how good is your doctor? How much CE has he or she taken? Where'd they graduate in their class? So no matter what question a patient asks us, and that's how they start the call, do you something? Right. The word we cannot say, the word that kills these calls, no matter what we're answering, is no. Mm-hmm. Or something negative.
Wait, say that again. The one word you cannot say.
The one word, no matter what the question is no. Because think about it. If you were to say, Kirk, you're like, let's go out and get lunch today. And I'm like, nah, I'm not really interested. What do you want to do?
I think you're a jerk when you say no. Like, seriously, I just asked you to have lunch. You said no. I'm like, what's her deal? She's got like an attitude, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And when we say no, it doesn't matter what we say after that. It's like we just dug a hole and now we're trying to dig ourselves out. Because when a person hears no, at that point, they're trying to get off the phone. They're like, oh, okay, well, I'll call back. I got to check my schedule. And they're trying to get off the phone. So we can't answer the questions, any of them, with no, because we're not getting the opportunity to start a conversation with that patient to find out what they need, because we just said, no, we don't take your insurance, or no, we don't have Saturday hours. And that tends to end the call, not start a relationship or a conversation with a patient.
Right. Now, if you're watching this and you're a team member, you're saying to yourself, well, I never use the word no, but there's a lot of ways that you can say no without saying the word no, correct?
Exactly. And the time that I see this come up the most is, do you take our insurance? Do you take my insurance? And I hear, no, we're not a network for insurance, but, or no, our doctor doesn't participate with insurances, but, or no, we, but, and so when, as soon as you say no, anything after that is, you have a less chance of converting that new patient. If you don't have Saturday hours and you go, no, I'm sorry, we don't have Saturday hours, you now have a less chance because that patient thinks they have to come in on a Saturday. But if you actually can convert the call, get them talking to you, maybe you can find out what the scenario is. So by saying no, you're just setting yourselves up to be like against this wall. And my suggestion is we turn it around and we say yes or something positive, knowing that that patient doesn't know what to ask. And it's our job to be better than them on the phone call to help them figure out what's important to them as a, you know, needing a dentist.
Yeah, absolutely. Now this goes for every position in the office, whether it be the dentist, you work a chairside assistant, hygiene, front, anything. The one thing that every great office knows, the day you go into business, you never say what you can't do. Right. You only talk about what you can do. Can you describe that, like how you do that in your office?
Well, even if you don't know the answer to something, even if you don't do something, you want to be there to help the patient. So you want to get them talking to you. You want to help them. Even if you don't know the answer to something, you're saying, you know what? That's a really good question. I'm not quite sure, but I want to make sure I get the right answer for you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the hygienist or I'm going to talk to the doctor and I'm going to get that answer for you. Much better than no.
Right.
No is not a good customer service word. And we are in a customer service industry. So we have to make sure that we're working with our patients to help them because we need to be their advocate. We need to be there to help our patients because it's not just teeth that we're working on, it's people. And if we don't realize that those people are the ones who are paying our bills and getting us a job and keeping our practice growing, we're not going to work on a lot of teeth.
Right. Now, I've done a ton of these and I think you're absolutely brilliant because first of all, you do this all the time. Now, but as a team member, if I'm watching this, I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. But now I'm starting to think, well, what do I say? Like,
exactly.
And I think one of the important things to do is, you know, you don't always have to have the answers. What's more important than having answers is oftentimes a question or it's really good to be curious. So if a patient says, do you take my MetLife or Cigna? Or are you open on Saturdays? You don't have to think about, oh, how do I propose this? You'll often go into a question before you actually start to tell them what you can do, correct?
Exactly. So what I suggest is if a patient calls, let me just give a couple scenarios because I know there's people listening to this going, all right, Laura, but we're not in network for their insurance or how do I handle that question? So my whole point is I want to get that patient talking to me. I want to know why they called. I want to know why they're asking. I want to know their scenario. So what I typically say is, yes, we work with your insurance. Or yes, we have a lot of patients with your insurance. Or yes, we have a lot of PPOs or we take a lot of PPOs. Something positive. And then I'm going to say, let me ask you a few questions and I'll explain. Now, for those staff that are listening that might be more insurance, they say, well, we need to know the insurances. Yes, I know we do. But we don't need to make it a priority. We don't need to do it at the first part of the phone call. Get to know the person on the phone. Then you can explain the insurance to them. But let's talk to the person. So I'm going to say, you know, yes, we have a lot of patients that have that insurance. Let me ask you a few questions and I'll explain. How did you hear about us? What's your name? Did you just move to the area? Do you have a toothache? Like, this is a person that we're dealing with, right? And one of the things where I say our industry has gotten insurance driven, if you're saying, well, we're not insurance driven, my office, we're not insurance driven. Well, think about the new patient phone calls. Typically, how we answer the phone is, what's your name? How did you hear about us? So now we're setting up that relationship with that patient to say, listen, insurance is more important to us as a dental office than you are as a person. And then we wonder why they waved their insurance book at us during the treatment plan presentation. Well, we've already established insurance is important when we did that first in the phone call. So my suggestion is to, yes, you have to handle these questions. You're not going to not answer the question for the patient, but let's get to know the person on the phone first. Get them talking to us. You're going to set yourself apart from every other dental office in your area, and you're going to have a higher conversion rate if you get the person talking to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to go back to those two things because that's brilliant. Now, if you're watching this, it's crazy important what she's just said, because number one, you never want to mislead a patient because there are people out there that teach you mislead the patient and get them in. And then you try to, I think you should never do that. I think you have to be incredibly authentic and honest up front. And what you have to do is what she said, because there are people, and Laura, I've done this too, and you've seen this too, where I'll go see a great practice and they're like, you know, we have too much insurance in our practice. There's too much going on. Like, I got to get away. And they get so mad at insurance. And then we sit down and we're listening to them for 10 minutes on the phone. And you can see the person who's answering the phone has used the word insurance like 7 or 8 times. Do you have insurance? You know, and I'm thinking, well, if I didn't have insurance, I better get insurance before I come to this office, right?
Yeah, I actually have done mystery calls into a lot of offices just to see how the staff's doing, because I have a lot of friends who are marketing companies who are like, the doctor's saying, well, the marketing's not working. The only job of marketing is get the phone to ring. Once the phone's ringing, it's all on us. And so I actually called an office once and said, can you tell me how much your crown is? I'm trying to get an idea. My last doctor said I needed a crown. And the girl quoted me a price, whatever it was, $1,200. And I went, oh, and she goes, I know that's expensive, right? She actually said that to me on the phone. Then she said, but if you get insurance, it's going to be less expensive. So the doctor's complaining that marketing's not working when really the phones are ringing. If you're doing the right marketing, we need to be better trained on the front. And we need to understand that patients don't know what to ask. It's our job to be in control, but let's not put insurance first. Let's not make it a priority, because that's the relationship we're setting up with that patient going forward.
Right. So what are some of the other things that you would potentially say no to? The office hours, obviously, insurance. What are some other things that you get to see every day?
I don't say no to anything.
Okay.
In fact, imagine working for me. I have 4 staff. And if I'm walking through the reception area and I hear them answer the phone and they say no, I turn around and I'm right in front of them. They're like, it was somebody wanting us to advertise in Yellow Pages or something.
Oh,
right?
Really?
I think you can say something positive to everything. Now, one of the things I'm going to say, and you mentioned this a minute ago, Kirk, I'm not a fan of scripts. I know there are people out there that teach scripts, but you know, when you call into an office or any place, you know, when they're reading a script.
Right.
Hi, thank you for calling Sunshine Dental. We are so happy you are, like, people want to talk to a person, you know? So I'm not a fan of scripts. I do feel though, you have to be able to handle the call from your heart. Right. So you have to know what your purpose is. And our purpose at the front desk is to make every possible way to try to convert that person into a new patient of our practice. So when I say yes or something positive, it's just to be able to take control of the call. So if somebody says, what insurances do you take? I can't say yes. That doesn't make any sense, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say we work with most PPOs or whatever's comfortable to you. But you need to understand the purpose when you're answering that phone is to convert that new patient. So if somebody calls my office and says, we're only open Monday through Friday, you know, we're a California office. We surf on the weekends, just kidding. But, you know, if somebody calls my office and says, do you have Saturday hours? I'm going to say yes, in certain circumstances we do. Now, we're not open on Saturdays. So if this person wants to come in with their 4 kids and get their teeth clean, we're not going to come in on a Saturday. But let's say this patient goes, oh, okay, well, I need 6 veneers or 8 veneers across the front. I'm going to my son's wedding next week, and I really want to get it done this weekend, and I'm willing to pay cash. Is somebody going in over the weekend? Completely, right? So the whole point is to get comfortable saying something positive. So then you can get the patient to talk to you, learn about the patient, then you can handle their question. And if you do that, your conversion rate will be a lot higher because you're actually getting to know why the person's asking you that question, what's important to them.
Yeah, let me go back to this, because you said the magic piece here, which is more important than the word, you know, because you might be watching this going, oh, I'm just not going to use the word no, and that's going to help me. Yeah. No, no.
Like,
and I'll use this. And the most important thing is just what you said, is to know why they ask the question. So if you can figure that piece out, now you set into motion a whole bunch of different things. Because here's the thing, if you're watching this, you really want to be an insurance-friendly practice. A lot of times people go, well, we don't participate, blah, 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 blah. And that just cuts off all the air supply to any energy from there. But you want to know why. Like, if you can learn why, then you can start to collaborate with the patient. For instance, let me do this. Do you have evening hours? And if you can find out why they ask that, they can tell you, well, I'll tell you what, I can't leave my job. I'm kind of concerned about laying off. And you can say, you know, Mrs. Jones, a lot of people ask that question. I'm so glad you share with me why you asked that question. We have a lot of patients just like you that are worried about their jobs, and they come in the mornings. We actually have 7 a.m. hours, you know, and for people just like you. So you can actually start to create the solution with them. Because if you help me with my ideas, I'm all yours. Yep. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And so here's the biggest thing. And for doctors listening to this is my like rah-rah front office team. We have so many things going on at the front desk. So at the front desk, at the exact same time, you're the insurance coordinator, you're the scheduler, you're the treatment plan coordinator, you're the receptionist, you're the babysitter when the mom comes in with the baby, and you're the coffee maker. Like, we have so much going on at the front desk. And when we go to answer the phones, a lot of times we're stressed. I mean, I know you talk about it, Kirk. What do you call the person answering the phone? Should be your sunshine something or another,
sunshine,
right?
Sunshine pumper. They got to be pumping sunshine into that phone. Exactly. They're not a concierge. They're not a front desk person. They're not even director of WOW. They are the manufacturer of sunshine in your office.
Exactly. And so Kirk and I, we've agreed to disagree on some things because I sit at the front desk. And, you know, when I've got the insurance finally on the phone, I'm calling on a claim. The doctor comes up, wants to know where his patient is. The hygienist is ready to check her patient out. I just heard that the CEREC isn't working in the back and that phone rings. Sometimes I don't feel like the sunshine pumper. I feel like unplugging that phone because I'm like, if one more thing happens, but I need to make sure that that phone call is handled correctly. So we need to realize that that phone is so important. And what I teach with Front Office Rocks is before I answer that phone, I basically take off my insurance coordinator hat, my scheduler hat, and I put on my receptionist hat. And how does a receptionist answer the phone? Happy and cheerful and how can I help you, right? I might not feel that way at that moment. So what I'm going to do is take a deep breath and I'm going to smile and I'm going to fake it till I make it because there might be six people standing in front of you, but we have to make sure that we are doing our best with that patient on the phone. And part of that is to, once we get that patient talking to us, we find out about what their story is. We can usually convert a patient who wants evening hours to come in. I just had one yesterday. She wanted evening hours. We didn't have any, but she could come in over lunch. She gets an hour and a half lunch. So she's coming in at 11 o'clock tomorrow. Problem solved. But had I said, no, we don't have evening hours at the beginning of the call, I would have never found that information out to be able to convert her to a patient that could come in over lunch.
Yeah. So, and what you're doing here, I'm just watching the feed on the side. Dr. Paul Henney, who runs the Bob Barkley Study Club, he said this for a long time, you know, people over policies. And that's really what you're talking about. You're creating, this is about people and you do have to give your full attention. Now, how do you do this? So let's say I'm a front desk team member. I want to tell people yes, but Laura, I got stuff going on. Like there's a patient standing right in front of me and I'm talking to somebody like, what do I do? Like, I'm trying to listen and this person's looking at me. What do you do when I want to say yes?
That's why I have 180 videos on my website, because there's not one right answer and there's not one scenario that happens the same way every time. So you do have to have policies in place. You have to have the team trained. One of my big things is training. We don't train well in a dental office. We just throw people to the wolves and they're not trained on this. So I need to be able to multitask. I need to be trained well on how to handle the phones. One of my big things that I teach at Front Office Rocks is I'm not a huge advocate of putting a patient on hold. I would rather call a patient back, but I want to handle the patient in front of me. Great customer service for that patient. I also want to handle the patient on the phone. So I know a lot of people are like, but I don't want to take time away from the patient in front of me to answer the phone. But that's a potential new patient, and that's a patient that is important too. So what I would do is, you know, your call is really important to me. I'm in the middle of checking a patient out right in front of me. My name is Laura. Can I give you a call back in 5 minutes? I want to make sure I get your appointment scheduled the way you want it. Most patients are going to say completely fine, no problem. I'd rather do that than put a patient on hold, because we put a patient on hold. We're checking this patient out in front of us. We assume it's almost done. And inevitably, this patient says, by the way, can we schedule my six kids? And can you tell me what that last balance is? And next thing you know, now you have a patient on hold for 3 or 4 minutes, which is not good customer service. So there's a lot of different scenarios and we need to train our team. One of the things I teach at Front Office Rocks is why. Why is it important to answer the phones by the third ring? Why is it important to stand up and shake a patient's hand when they walk in the door? A lot of this is if your team understands why that's important, they're going to do better at doing it. If you just tell them to stand up and shake the hand of a new patient, they're going to be like, you know, hi, it's our policy, versus they understand how that plays into the bigger picture.
Right. I'm going to piggyback on that too, because you might be watching this as a dentist and you're going to like, you'll say to yourself, well, I'm just going to have my team watch this video and that's not good enough. And here's why, because you have to have a collaborative discussion so that people get the understanding or the importance of all of this. And let's go into the real world, because in a dental office, here's what most dentists do. They throw a team member up there and they go, don't say the word no, and just get them in the office. Right.
Yes.
And then the team member goes, well, and they forget your advice the second you tell them. Yep. Do you know that Chick-fil-A makes 17 and 18-year-old kids watch 40 videos before they can go on the floor. Now, 40, yes. Because they know the importance of really developing people before they start communicating with other people around our core values and why this company is important. And that's why you'll sit in a drive-thru forever, because it's substantially different when a kid says, my pleasure, my pleasure, my pleasure. Now, Chick-fil-A makes a 17-year-old kid watch 40 videos to serve chicken nuggets. How many videos do your team's members watch? Yep. Zero, right?
Zero, yep. And that's my thing. When, and you and I've talked about this, and when we've, you know, met and talked over other videos, we don't give enough love to our front office team.
Right.
And that's a quote from T-Bone, who's like, well, he's like, I need to give my front office some more love, because he says, I send my hygienist to CE. I take my assistants to CE. We go to the ADA and CDA, but we don't do anything for our front office staff. And our front office staff, we rock. Front office rocks, because we're the ones that get the patients in. We're the ones that put the schedule together. We're the ones that get the patients to pay. We need to show them some love. And so the videos that I have are to help them. And my videos actually show real life scenarios, like a patient really being upset about paying or somebody trying to cancel an appointment, because we need to have everybody see it from their own perspective. I have some offices where the office managers tried to watch it and then just tell the team what to do. That doesn't work. You need to invest in your team so they, from their own experiences, from their own set of eyes, can go, oh, I know how I can do this better in my job. But we don't give enough to the front office to help them be better in their jobs.
Absolutely. Because if you're better at your job up front, it lends itself to a whole cascade of incredible things. Think about this. If you just took this magic word out of your vocabulary and it improved conversions by 10%, how many more new patients do you get to talk to in a week that you're not getting all mad and frustrated that there's nothing in the schedule?
Exactly.
So this one word, and it's often, now when it comes to this word, because you might be watching this going, okay, I got the word. How would you train your team? So what are some exercises that you could potentially role play or discuss with your team or look at on a daily basis so you get better at this?
Yeah. Well, what a lot of my offices do with the training videos is whenever they start somebody new, they go through all the receptionist videos. In my office, you don't answer the phone until you've done all the videos in reception, because we need to make sure that you're trained. And then we role play and we just throw questions out. Like, how would you answer this question? How would you, I mean, you could call my office. I would answer the phone and you would say, does your doctor drive a pickup truck?
Right.
And I would go, yes, that's a really interesting question. Let me ask you a few questions and I'll explain. It doesn't matter how you say it. It's that you're saying something positive,
right?
Getting to know the person on the other end of the call. And then I'm going to say, so why do you want to know he drives a pickup truck? Tell me the story, right? But
yeah.
It's that we're dealing with people. And so I would definitely recommend that you train. I get so frustrated that dentists take a brand new employee. They're not trained. They're not proven. And they try them out on the front office, on the phones.
Right.
Like, this new employee is nervous, scared, doesn't know anything about your office, whether they have dental experience or not. You're spending money to make that phone ring if you're doing marketing. And this person has no clue of how your office runs, and we're trying them out.
Right.
And we wonder why we have so much turnover at the front desk. I mean, the first week at a new job, employees, something like 65% of employees know whether they're going to stay long-term or not during that first week. And we just tend to throw them to the wolves. And it's usually the phones. It's such a bad business idea to do it that way, training idea.
Right. Now, obviously, you're very experienced. You're what we would call a pro at this. I mean, you've been doing this a long time. But if you're watching this and you're like, okay, gosh, how am I going to do this without saying the word no? Don't overthink this, because sometimes you can start to think about your answer too much. But remember what Laura said, learn why. And here's what I do. I'll just tell you what I do. This is super simple. When somebody asks a perplexing question that we obviously can't do, I always say, that's an awesome question. Like, really good question. Like, tell me why you asked that question, because they're going to go, well, I'll tell you why. And then you'll have a better understanding. It's called understanding, and understanding creates more intimacy, not necessarily physical, but emotional intimacy. And now I can help you put the pieces of the puzzle together. So don't overthink it.
Yeah.
When somebody asks you a question that you're like, oh gosh, we don't participate, slow down and say, that is a really good question. Tell me why you asked that, because I want to help you. You called the right place.
Yeah.
And I want to help you. Now, this isn't just the front. In the back, you and I have talked about this. Like, this is a good one. I am not a fan of patients spreading out treatment forever for 35 months, $10 a month. Here's a great one. I've learned this from some of the best masters ever. When a patient says, you know, can I do monthly payments? You never answer the question. You say, Mrs. Jones, tell me what you're thinking. Tell me why you asked that question. Because they might go, well, that's a lot of money. What if I paid $3,000 a month. You could go, they're not thinking $10 a month. Yeah. Sometimes you just have to slow down because they're like, wow, that's a lot of money. And I don't have all of it right now, but I want to do this. But what if I broke it up over, you know, whatever it was?
Yeah. And I think that's where we get rote, because we've been burned in the past where somebody paid us $10 a month for 5 years. So now we don't have payment plans. Right. Or we had somebody upset about something. And then we kind of get introverted and now we're protecting ourselves. No, we don't take your insurance. No, we don't have payment plans. And what we're doing is we're limiting our availability to help our patients, to be there for our patients. So another big thing that I have is to do regular training. Just like doctors need to have regular CE, there's a reason for that, so that you stay up with what's the latest and greatest in dental. We need that too, because we get squashed. We get the patients who call us and are complaining because the insurance didn't pay. Or we have the patient who the doctor got mad at us because they are paying $10 a month. And we always need to sharpen our saw. We need to remember why we do what we do, because once you get into this job, it can wear you down, you know? Right. And next thing you know, you're like, oh, thank goodness it's Friday, I'm off. And we don't want that. We want everybody to be excited there.
Yeah, absolutely. And Denise just commented on the thread. You really want to listen between the lines, which is very true. You want to know why they asked that question. Now, you run two businesses and you taught me this. You know, not only do you want to go crazy as a team member, you want to prevent that, but you can also go crazy as a dentist, because you've talked about this so many times and you do this in Front Office Rocks, is when you get difficult questions, do this. Have a stack of 3x5 cards sitting at the front. If you're a team member and you get difficult questions, you're like, oh, I don't know how to spin that into a yes, take a 3x5 card after the call's over and write it down and go, that's for discussion later. And you want to keep these 3x5 cards up front or in your practice, because this is never going to go away. Some of you are watching this, you're going to practice for 3 more decades. And if you don't document this, you're going to go insane, because you're like, I just told these people like 2 months ago what to do. So what you can do as a team member is go, I'm going to bring this one to the morning huddle tomorrow, because that one was a hard one. And then you collaboratively on the back come up with the responses. And now you've got a working, not necessarily script, but it's a framework, because you do this even with Front Office Rocks. You have your team, they'll log, they'll put in like frequently asked questions, and then you document what to say, right?
Yeah.
So we're all on the same page.
Yeah, we have a lot of variations of this. So we keep a call-in log. So I highly recommend this to keep track of all the patients calling in. Mm-hmm. And then did they schedule? What was their question? Did they schedule? And what was the outcome of it? And I do it for multiple reasons. One of them is, if they didn't schedule, well, what was the question they asked? Could we have gotten that better? If I look at one employee versus the other, maybe one's really good at converting new patients and the other one hasn't converted very many at all. Well, then now I know I need training with that one. So there's multiple reasons of why we keep this list, but we want to always be learning and evolving. And I'll tell you, I answer the phones. I get calls. Sometimes I'll get a call and a patient will ask me a question and I'm like, okay, I teach answer with yes. And I'm like, is there a camera? Am I being, what is it called? Pranked right now? Punked? Right. Because I'm like, somebody's asking me the most difficult question. So the thing to understand is we're not going to get them all. We are not expecting every person to convert to a new patient. But when we start with no, we have taken that chance and decreased it, you know, tenfold, because we never got the opportunity to talk to the patient, to really talk to them. So all this is just a higher chance of us getting a chance to convert them. And that's our job at the front, is to let them know they called the best dental office in town and they need to be patients of ours.
Absolutely. Because if you're watching this, I hope you agree with the statement. If we can get them here, they're going to stay.
Exactly.
The word no kills so many opportunities up front before they even get a chance to experience your business. What else would you say about this concept, or what advice would you give a team member that's watching this that has struggled or doesn't necessarily love this, or you find that the conversion isn't super high in an office? What else would you say?
Well, I think a lot of it is role playing. And I talk about this on all aspects. So with Front Office Rocks, I teach everything from A to Z. And there's areas like talking about asking for referrals and reviews. That's not easy for not everybody on your team to do. You know, a lot of times there are some people who are like, yeah, that sounds good, but I physically can't say those words. Same with me. If you're hearing me say, okay, it sounds good to go say something positive, but you don't know how you're going to do it, practice. And it's much easier to practice with somebody you're comfortable with a team member, with your doctor all together, than it is to just wing it on the phone. So a lot of it is just practice whatever you're comfortable with until you internalize it, until it becomes yours, and understand your purpose. Now, this is much higher level, But one of the things you and I've talked about is the doctor needs to communicate to the team, what's the purpose of the practice? And then we need to be able to communicate our purpose to reach that goal. You know, every person on the team matters. I mean, the dental assistant spends more time with the patients than anybody. They're hugely important. The receptionist is the first impression. Like, we all have a huge part in the bigger goal. But a lot of times doctors don't necessarily work with their team to say, well, here's our goal. And if you know you're playing a bigger part, you know, our job is to get our patients healthy and help them live longer and live a better life. When I answer that phone, that 2-3 minute phone call makes a difference to help that patient get healthy teeth and gums. So it's really about getting your team all on the same page.
Yeah. And you get them all on the same page only by communicating with them. There's no other way to do it. And we train teams all over the world, and they always say, you know what, if she or he was a better communicator, this place would be a better place. Right.
Yeah. I always joke that, you know, they don't teach that in dental school. I was married to a dentist, my husband, all through dental school, and they didn't teach anything about communication, sales, marketing, management, right? They sent him off in the world, made him a good dentist. There's no office manager school. You know, there is ADOM now, which is great as a resource for office managers.
Awesome.
So if you don't know about ADOM, look it up. It's American Association of Dental Office Managers. And then there was nothing to train. I mean, half the time we ended up at the front desk because either we're married to the doctor. I joke, we slept with the doctor. Or we were a dental assistant that had a great personality, or they were short-staffed, or we weren't a great dental assistant, but we could talk to patients. You know, somehow we all stumbled into this role. So we're run by somebody not trained in communication and marketing and management and sales and human resources. And then our team's not necessarily trained. So get the help that you need. You know, yeah. There's videos with Front Office Rocks, or it's with you, Kirk, at a higher level. You need help. If we're going to help more patients, you need to make sure your team is all communicating well and on the same page.
Yeah, the future of any great business is developing the people around you, because when you have an extraordinary team, they can crush it.
And I tell doctors all the time, if you would just talk to your team, I bet you would find out how much they want to support you. I mean, the team wants to help. They want to know what they can do. You just have to talk to them. You have to share that with them.
Yeah. Now, we got a fabulous question from Ashton Whitney Jones. She asked the question on the Facebook feed. This is great. When is the best time to ask for insurance information in the phone call for a new patient? Great question.
That's really good question. So one of the things I was going to say is, as people are writing down note cards of questions they can't answer or things, there on my website, there's an Ask Laura that's at Front Office Rocks. You can come directly to me. So if you get a challenge that you're like, all right, Laura, how do I handle this? Send it to me. I'll help you with it. Bring it. I have on there also documents, and one of them is a call-in form. So whenever a new patient calls in, we grab the form and we just start. And it starts from getting to know the patient and what was their initial question and finding out why they're calling. And then at the end of the call, is there an insurance we can verify for you? Or is there an insurance that we can, you know, have in your system? Or do you have insurance that we can put in for you? Well, however you want to word it, it doesn't matter. But the whole point is, at this point, you've gotten to know the person. You know why they're calling. You know what they're looking for. You built rapport with them. And then you can ask, is there an insurance we can verify for you? And there's nothing wrong with that, because I know I want to know the insurance before they come in, make sure that they have a good, you know, an insurance we'll take, but I don't want to do it first. That's the only thing I'm saying, is I don't want to do it first.
So let me clarify this, because I love this, is let's say I throw a really lousy insurance at you first.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my gosh, that's like the worst insurance ever. We don't do anything with that insurance. You're going to still slow the phone call down and say, well, almost to yourself, we're going to cross that bridge, but can I learn a little bit more about you? So that basically you would want to say 80% of the phone call is going to be relationship.
Yep.
And maybe the last 10 to 15, 20% are going to be about the mechanics. And so all you're doing is just introducing the question. You're not telling them that you accept it as full payment or reader. All you're doing is saying, hey, look, will you be bringing any insurance, or at the very end? And that's it.
So, for example, we accept PPO. We're a fee-for-service office. There'd be no benefit if you come to us with an HMO, right? They're not going to pay at all. So a patient calls my office and says, do you take XYZ HMO? I'm going to say, yes, we have a lot of patients with HMOs. Let me ask you a few questions and I'll explain, okay? I'm going to get to know them. I'm going to find out why they're calling. I'm going to hear their story. Then I'm going to end with, or after I get to know them, I'm going to say, listen, here's the scenario. With an HMO, you can't come to our office and get any benefits. Your HMO requires you to go to the doctor on your card. However, we have found that, much like you told me, many people who have this HMO couldn't find a dentist they liked. They couldn't find one they could get into. And so a lot of patients ended up coming to our practice. they joined our membership program, they dropped their HMO, or they switched to a PPO, and we can offer you a new patient special or whatever it is, you can try to convert that patient, but I'm going to still try to convert them. Now, do I convert all the HMOs? No. You know, they want to go to somebody? No, right? They want to go find somebody in their network. However, on my call-in sheet now, I write down that they're an HMO, they did not schedule, and I have their phone number. A day or two later, we're going to call them back and make sure they got scheduled somewhere. Because if they didn't, because they couldn't get into an HMO and they had a toothache, they're going to go, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to come to your office. Forget this dumb insurance. I don't want it, right? But that, again, is because we care about the person, because we understand that these are people we're dealing with, not insurance companies. So I didn't get every HMO patient in that way, but I gave it a really good shot, didn't I? Because if I would have said no, I would have never got to know the patient. And maybe that patient never comes to us. But let's say they talk to their neighbor and their neighbor says, do you know a good dentist? I'm thinking maybe they'll say, no, I don't really like the one I go to. But if I had better insurance, Scripps Rock Dental is this amazing office and I would definitely consider them. So maybe it turns into a referral. Who knows? Right?
Yeah, absolutely. See why this is so good? That was totally worth, if you didn't get anything out of the first part of that, that was amazing. See how she did that? So she built value for the office. She didn't mislead the patient. And at the end, she was really clear about expectations. And the second piece was great. You keep a list of these people and you call them back, because a lot of times these new patient telephone slips, they get thrown away because they're like, oh, they called about the HMO, and you throw it away and you go, that's a lousy patient, when it's an opportunity. And the third piece, I would absolutely piggyback on that. Let HMOs and all that stuff work for itself. People are becoming more and more unhappy. They're going to try another office. And you want to set yourself up that when people come to your office, they're never even going to think about going somewhere else. So following up with them and just let the world do what it's going to do, but get them into your office. Gosh, that is so good, Laura.
Well, thank you. That's one of the things, and you just talked about this. We could go on for days and days on this kind of stuff, Kirk. One of the things that I find is that we tend to blame outside factors. We blame the economy, and patients are insurance driven, and the insurance and all this other stuff. We can't do anything about that. You can't do anything about your competition or the economy. I mean, it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to be cheaper than them. You're not going to be, that is what you have in your situation. But what you do have total control over is what happens within your four walls.
Right.
And if you can get your team on the same page, you can get them trained, you can get systems in, you can run your office the way you want, patients are going to come. Patients are going to stay. You're not going to be so reliant on insurance. So one of the things is maybe stop blaming outside factors and look internally and say, well, what can we do to make our patients understand that we're the best office in town and they're going to want to come to us, even if it costs them a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. You just hit the nail on the head. The better you get, the easier it gets. The less better you get, the harder it gets. I mean, when you just don't have your act together, it's just hard. It's just really hard. You want to be mad at everybody and they're mad at you too. So it's good stuff. So how do people find Front Office Rocks? And tell us just a little bit about, where would I go?
Okay. So Front Office Rocks is online. So the idea is to have a resource that every dentist across the United States, Canada can afford and can come to for training. So it's subscription based. So it's $149 a month for the office. So you can train as many people as you want, or it's $1,500 a year. Like we talked about, there's over 180 videos on the site. So it can be used for new employee training. So before you let anybody answer your phones, put them through the receptionist videos. It can be for as you progress in the position. So now you're a scheduler, now you're a treatment coordinator. You can do the videos to help you progress in the front. It can be used for cross training. So you've got a dental assistant that wants to help up front. Let's have her cross train, her cross train. And then a lot of offices are using it for the whole team enhancement. So they'll watch a few videos over a staff meeting and they'll have a discussion around it. Like, what do we want our scheduling policy to be? Or how do we want to handle emergencies in the schedule or whatever? So it gets your team talking. So for dentists that don't know what to talk about in the staff meeting, you watch a few videos and then you talk about it with your team. And then lastly, we have webinars. So like I said, I do webinars twice a month. And I believe, I'm going to just put this out there, I had the biggest online meeting last Wednesday. I had over 85 offices, and I know some of the offices had two or three employees, and we just met and talked about the new patient phone call, and they asked questions, and I did this. So I think it's the biggest online front office rock star meeting ever in the history of dentistry. And so that's a good resource to help your team. If they are like, okay, Laura, how do I answer yes to this? Yep. They can go and watch one of the webinars, and that should help them do better in whatever area.
Yeah, you got to check it out. So everybody's learning. Everybody's getting better. It's a great place to start. So awesome. Now, you and I are going to do a bunch of these because we have a thousand topics to figure out. If somebody wants to contact you directly, just go through the website or...
And go to Ask Laura. My email is Laura, L-A-U-R-A, at frontofficerocks.com, or just go to Ask Laura. Ask me anything. I'll give you a yes. I might not have the resource for you, but I'll find one for you. So my job is to be here to help you and your front office team do better. That's really my front office rock stars. That's what I'm all about.
You are awesome. Thank you so much for being on. And if you're watching this again live or even later on, please continue to add comments or questions. And then I'm going to ask Laura to just respond to those as they come up. And we're going to be here to help you in any way that we can. So thank you so much, Laura. And thank you so much for watching today. I hope you enjoyed today. And if you did, which I hope you did, and I know you did, do us a favor, just hit the share button, share this with your colleagues. We'd love for great information like this to get out there. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys have a great rest of your day.